military, but when the military
won't
do the job,
go ahead and stop it there, Mr. Producer. Now, what's interesting is I'm seeing other things float around on some of the kind of questionable websites, let's just say, where they're saying now Trump basically is preparing, you know, he's preparing for civil war against the communists and so forth and so on. And so that's what's fascinating. So now you're going to see like this, you know, like I was talking about this during Ferguson and so forth, that you're driving the regular people into the arms of the police state, that like the entire alternative media, libertarians and all that have been raging against the police state this whole time. Now there was this psyop with all the police shootings of these allegedly black defenseless people, et cetera, et cetera, that with the Black Lives Matter movement coming out of the, you know, getting churned out by the billionaire class and the Ford Foundation types and Soros and all these other people creating this black agitprop groups, that now you're going to drive basically what normal white people who like were on the fence about police state back into the arms of the police state. So Donald Trump readies supporters for civil war against the New World Order. And you'll see this on some of the, you know, I'm looking at this on what used to be Your News Wire. Now it's newspunch.com. Preparing his supporters to revolt against the New World Order, blah, blah, blah. According to journalist Charles Blow out of the New York Times, establishment of politicians within the Democratic and Republican parties, fear an uprising amongst the general public if the elite decide to push Trump out of the White House. And, you know, Roger Stone and numerous people have said this. Look, if the Robert Mueller and the neocon Republicans aligned with the Marxist Democrats, the Trotskyite Republicans aligned with the basically Marxist Democrats, if they decide to push Trump out, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't either. Trump made an industry out of selling conspicuous consumption. He sold the ideas that greed was good, luxury was aspirational, indulgence was innocent. Trump supporters see him as a vector. He sees them as a market, blah, blah, blah. But Blow doesn't believe Trump is out to make a quick buck or grow his brand, at least not exclusively. Through his overwhelming support of police unions, militarized rhetoric, tacit defense of white supremacists, and efforts to marginalize his opposition, he's building a veritable army. Blow continues. This is the New York Times jerk. You do that by dividing America into tribes. And as president, aligning yourself with the most extreme tribe, all the while promoting militarization among people who support you. You know, this is what kills me. It's like, no, this entire last 10 years of anti-white hysteria, anti-white militarization of everybody that's non-white, the demonization of anybody white, tearing down of monuments, all the false flags, everything else. No, see, none of that's a reason for anything. It's just because Trump is defending white supremacists and marginalizing his opposition that he's building an army. No, I think people are smart and they realize that basically there's this genocidal move by basically elements, okay, out here of the billionaire and trillionaire class, and goes to the Kudenhoff-Kalergi plan. It goes to all the rabbis and Jewish communists running their mouths, you know, and it goes to elements, insidious satanic elements in the Vatican that are involved in this, you know, satanic and evil elements in the Islamic community that are very anti-European. Okay, there's an axis of evil right now that has been created to blot Whitey from the earth. And 99% of the people in what you would call Whitey's world here feel it. These are the ones that are that they feel targeted. They feel demonized. They feel marginalized. Look at sports. Look at entertainment. Look at pop culture. Look at academia. Look at news. It's all anti-white. It's all been bought by people who want to push the anti-white agenda. The question is, did they do that for a white backlash and they really just wanted that all along, or is it a really genocidal agenda against white people? And this is what you're going to have to decide. Is this synthetic and you want whites to become, you know, people that run around lynching people? And you want them to become militarized once again? You want them to start being ruthless and hardcore? Or is this thing where you actually want to take them out of power for good and it's over? You have to decide that, okay? I mean, I've read enough to realize that it's probably, as far as I can see it, there's enough sick people in the world that have been brainwashed and the brainwashers that's what they want to see, all right? So this is what it is, all right? Let's see. Let's move on a little bit. Get clip 10 ready. This is about the internet and the future. And this is from Christopher Green over at Alternative Media TV, who I watch some of his stuff. But this is about Silicon Valley. This is about Google. This is about YouTube, what's happening, what we're witnessing. Let's hit clip 10.
But I was thinking about a couple of things. The new Civil War, right? The new Civil War. Remember how Lincoln used to have why the North won? They had control of the railroads, right? At least that's what the history books and the victor always writes the history, says the reason they won, the North won, was because of the infrastructure, the railroad. Well, in this new Civil War, what's the railroad? Well, it's information tech. It's the internet. It's Google. It's Facebook. It's the superhighway. Who owns that? Silicon Valley. What does Silicon Valley support? Well, they support radical leftist ideology. Now, if we're going man-to-man, conservatives are going to win, right? I mean, who's going to win in a freaking street fight, conservative or liberal? Conservative. Who has more guns? The conservatives. Okay, we're going to win mano-a-mano, hand-to-hand combat, right? Floyd Mayweather versus, got a little mosquito on me, versus McGregor. Although that fight was fixed, by the way, guys. It was 110% fixed. So just kind of thinking about that, how important that information superhighway is, as we're faced with new draconian censorship, all of these problems, these backdoors, and all this kind of thing. And what is amazing about it, and I was talking about it with some family of mine and friends, what's amazing is with all this censorship, all this suppression, all this burning of digital books, we're still growing. We just blasted through 100 million plus views yesterday on YouTube. And that is while we're being heavily censored. That's just strictly word of mouth. We have no organic search virality anymore. That is freaking incredible. That just shows you the power of the truth, of the light, of goodness, what is holy, what is beautiful, and what is honest.
All right, so stop it there. Now, but it makes you think, well, hell, it's the censorship by the goons of PSYOP to make it look sexy, to make it more attractive. I mean, if you're being censored, is that part of it? I don't know. I don't want to see people censored on YouTube. I think it's ridiculous. Demonetized, the whole nine. Was the monetization scheme a whole way to get people sucked onto the platform? And then later on, you're like, we're going to let you wither on the vine, boy. You ain't giving you squat. So then people are having to go to Steam it and with all these other new platforms coming out. And so, look, as long as the internet's open, I say Google act like a bunch of jerks, because then you're going to force people into new realms and then, you know, off of your little plantations anyway. So whatever. I think this is a complicated deal. This has probably already been actuaried out by the AIs, you know, these artificial brain type crunching mechanisms to decide all this. So you push a little bit, you back off, you push it. The whole thing seems like, you know, systematically artificial. I don't know. Paul Joseph Watson's like, I'm done with YouTube, and it lasted like 3 weeks. Now he's back. You see, it's just like that. All right. Now, where do I want to go real quick? And I'm not going to keep Ken much longer because he's got to bounce. But let's do Tommy Robinson, okay? Mr. Producer, let's go to clip 23 because I'm going to try to get done by the bottom of the hour. So Ken's been up since 3 a.m., but we're going to flesh this Tommy Robinson, Alex Jones thing out real quick. Because this is a real another big kind of chunk that we have to stay on top of intellectually. So let's do clip 23. This is Tommy Robinson on the Rebel Media. Nope, that's a clip. That's music.
You've heard of jihad by the sword, sex, and money. Now there's another. Jihad by foster care is about to become one of the next big challenges in Britain. You've probably read the stories about the 5-year-old Christian child who had been placed in 2 Muslim families within 6 months, and where one of the families couldn't even speak a word of English. It was reported that the girl was told to remove her crucifix necklace, that she couldn't eat one of her favourite foods, carbonara, because it had bacon in it, and that she has even turned to her biological mother and told her that Christmas is stupid. What sort of 5-year-old child thinks Christmas is stupid? Unless they've been indoctrinated already by people who hate Christian holidays. Local authorities are meant to consider racial, cultural, linguistic and religious backgrounds when placing children into foster care. Clearly that didn't happen in this case. An investigation into the issue was being led by Neil Carmichael, the former Conservative chairman of the Education Select Committee. But his work was cut short by the most recent election. The investigation found that this young girl was placed in 2 homes where both mothers from them families covered their faces fully with a niqab. There have since been calls for an inquiry into how a young Christian child could be placed with a family in Tower Hamlets who can't even speak the same language as her. Reverse the roles for 1 second. You've got a 5-year-old Muslim girl, she's placed with a Christian family, and they're making her eat bacon. Then they take away her prayer mat and they take off her hijab. And when she goes and sees her mother, she starts contradicting and having a go at her own religious beliefs. Tower Hamlets Council has not said why this decision was made yet. Though a spokesman for the authority had the cheek to say that they give absolute consideration to our children's background and their cultural identity. Clearly you didn't. And when we're talking about considering cultural sensitivities, how come this policy isn't implemented fairly across the board on everyone? Cultural sensitivities aren't important for a little white Christian girl. But when European children were placed with foster parents who happened to be UKIP members, Rotherham Council quickly snatched those kids back. Do you remember that story? When Rotherham Borough Council found out that 2 parents were members of UKIP, the kids were taken away because the children were not, in their words, with Indigenous white British.
And they were giving those children love and stability and all the things they need so that they can go on and proceed in life. And they have been discriminated against by a Labour-run council on the basis that they support a party that says we shouldn't be part of the European Union and we should control our borders. And that is the most appalling prejudice.
The couple told the Daily Telegraph
let's stop
the social
there,
workers...
Okay, Mr. Producer, now get the next clip 24 ready, but let me set this up. All right, so Tommy Robinson, he's the author of this really big-selling latest book of his called Muhammad's Quran, where allegedly, and I haven't read it, I would like to have a copy, but he puts it in chronological order, okay? And so you get into these concepts like abrogation and so forth and so on, where basically if you get into, you know, certain sectors of Islamic thinkers, they say basically when Muhammad said something early as Islam was beginning to rise, where it was more, let's just say, tolerant, those verses in the Quran are abrogated by ones that happen later, where it gets into the more violent and into the subjugation of other faiths and so forth and so on. So the nice kind of innocuous stuff happened earlier. This concept gets abrogated to stuff that happened later chronologically. And so allegedly Muhammad's Quran, which is put out by Tommy Robinson of the Rebel Media, Ezra Levant, a Jewish guy, and there's been a bunch of stuff that happened over at the Rebel. A bunch of people have left, McGinnis, Faith Goldie, some of these other people. So it's in a big kind of shakeup over there. It's a Canadian outfit. But anyway, so he basically allegedly puts the Quran in kind of chronological order, according to Tommy Robinson and whoever helped him out with his little compilation of the book. Now, this went all over Breitbart and a bunch of the other sites, you know, your kind of kosher alt-light sites that, you know, this is what they're doing to kids in Britain. So a UKIP couple, they're raising some non-white kids. They get the kids snatched, or they might have been white kids, but they weren't theirs, foster kids. They get the kids snatched because they're members of UKIP. Now, you know, UK Independence Party, who supported Brexit. Now, as the story goes, that basically white Christian kids are getting thrown to the wolves into Islamic foster homes. And, of course, the Islamic foster homes are probably making a buck off of it, is what I'm gathering here. So now this is Alex Jones talking to Tommy Robinson this week about this very kind of story that busted wide open all over alternative media. So let's play clip 24.
Countries. So, Tommy, this is an existential threat, and I've got three daughters. I mean, I guess a lot of men join Islam. A lot of white folks are joining because they can be thugs. They can, you know, have slaves. Here's the deal. Death before dishonor. I understand they're coming after me. I am committed. What do I do to stop the takeover of Islam? What do I do? Because you're the general, buddy. You're the guy out of anybody out there that's been the most on target and, you know, has the most energy. What do we do?
You see, I always question that myself. I think a lot of people do. What can we do? Like, what can we do as ordinary men? What can we do? And I always just say what my role would be, and what I see my role is. I see my role as speaking, enlightening, awakening people, educating people, highlighting what we need is we need the entire British public, the entire American public, to understand what Islam is. Not this. Islam's not the same as Sikhism, Judaism, Hinduism. It's completely separate. They need to understand who Muhammad was. We need to understand the life of Muhammad, the kind of man that 4 million Muslims in the UK hold up as a moral compass. We need to understand the horrendous acts he committed, the violence he committed, the murders he committed, the rape he committed, his opposition to free speech, his opposition to gay. All we need to understand who he was. Because currently what we have is we have an education system which is completely lying. They're completely lying to the children. The whole next generation of children are being brought up. I've told you this example before. I'll give you it again. My daughter was 7 years old. I at this time, because of everything I had going on myself, I didn't want to have those conversations with my children. I want my children to continue being children. Yeah, these are politics that they shouldn't have to know about. Now, I'm sitting there with the book out. It's the biography of Muhammad, because I'm practicing and researching for a debate. Now, my daughter walked past and said, "Muhammad, peace be upon him." "What did you just say?" And she said, "Muhammad, you have to say peace be upon him." I said, "So, well, who's told you that? Who has told you that?" "School." "Okay? The school have told you, you have to say Muhammad, peace be upon him." And this is where it gets me, because in the UK, every single child, as part of our national curriculum, they now have to visit the mosque. And what they do is they go on this school trip, it's a school trip, fun day out, where they get sent letters saying they have to cover their arms, they have to dress a certain way.
And now it's happening here in the US, and they're getting into the curriculum everywhere. How are they getting them to do this?
They say it's multi-faith, it's about educating about the faiths, okay? Fine. You bring my children to a mosque, You stand them up with an imam who's 50 or 60 years old, and you tell them that he married a child their age. You tell them that he raped her. You give them the facts about what he did. You don't bring them into that mosque and tell them it's an important spiritual place. You know, because what you're doing is you're lying. You're not giving, so you're bringing our children into these buildings.
And I've also read they're not taking them to churches. Stay right there. Let's do five more minutes. And I got to get you on more often because it's too important. But it just hit me looking at your face and listening to you. Because you come across as truthful, and people know that, plus you've been proven right. Tommy, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I want to warn you on the other side of this break, because I can guarantee they're going to kill you very, very soon. That's not a curse. It's a warning. It just hit me. You got to protect yourself. Me too, but it just hit me. We're back in 70 seconds, folks. They're going to kill Tommy Robinson. I just know it. They're going to walk right up, stab him with a butcher knife. You boldly get out there. They physically attack you. You fight back. But I'm telling you, you're beating them so bad, I've done the calculus, they want to kill you. TommyRobinson.com. Go ahead.
Alex, you know, like my new book, Muhammad's Quran, Why Muslims Kill for Islam, I think this is a game changer. I think, looking back in a few years' time, this will be the biggest book awakening people on Islam, yeah? Now, it's the Quran in chronological order, it gives all the history, but when Muhammad's Quran, Why Muslims Kill for Islam, with blood all over the front page, went to Amazon number one bestseller. It's been the best-selling Quran in the world for 4 weeks. I'm fully aware how much they're going to want to kill me. I'm fully aware of how much. But you know
I didn't realize it was that big a seller. Incredible. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it sold out in the UK. It went to Amazon number one bestseller for 5 days, and it sold out. I think in America, because bear in mind, I've had no publisher. I literally just put it on Amazon and tweeted it. It went to number 40 in America. Yeah, it went to number 40 book in America. We've got no publisher. That's just self-published, us putting it online. Now, it sold out. It went to number one for 5 days. It sold out. It's been the number one. If you read the comments, and again, I take so much satisfaction. You know, if they do kill me, and this is a message to any Muslim watching this that's planning on killing me, you will create the best-selling Quran that is going to awaken every single person to what your ideology is. So I will die a happy man, knowing that the minute I die, people will know it's for writing that book, and they'll know it's for taking a stand, and they will educate themselves so much on your book. And then, and only then, will we see an uprising in the British public, we'll see an uprising in the people, and we'll see what I'd say is a revolution against this. So,
all right, go ahead and stop it right there, Mr. Producer, but do you feel what's happening? Okay? You got Antifa here. You've got Linda Sarsour. You've got all this stuff, BDS. And then you've got Tommy Robinson over in England. Okay? You've got... And then I'm seeing people tweeting out pictures of Qurans from the Waffen-SS era with swastikas on them. What I'm watching here is the... Basically... The cataclysm of so many ideologies thrown together. And I'm thinking about Albert Pike's Three World Wars vision, the Zionists versus, you know, and the nihilists, unleashing the nihilists and then having the Zionists and the Muslims go at it. You got Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer. And then you got Tommy Robinson, who's there's pictures of him on Israeli tanks on holiday over there in Israel. But the whole flavor of this whole thing is fascinating to watch. And then this book, Muhammad's Quran, okay, shooting up the charts. And then you get this Three World Wars vision. You got North Korea acting the retard, maybe. Who knows? But I'm saying it's like when we look at North Korea and we get the news, who are we getting it from? We're getting from controlled military intelligence outlets, Reuters, which is Rothschild's, AP Rothschild's. We're getting it from, where can we get, real news from North America and what they're saying? I mean, it's just fascinating. Let's see, we've got a few minutes left. What do I want to get to? Oh, we might as well get to this. I pulled this up during one of the breaks. Weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025. A research paper presented to Air Force 2025, a bunch of majors, lieutenant colonels, and colonels, 1996. 2025 is a study designed to comply with a directive from the chief staff of the Air Force to examine the concepts, capabilities, and technologies the United States will require to remain the dominant air and space force in the future. Presented on 17 June 1996, June 17th, 96. Oh, interesting. Anyway, this report was produced in the Department of Defense School Environment of Academic Freedom and in the interest of advancing concepts related to national defense. The views expressed in this report are those of the authors and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, DOD, or the United States government. This report contains fictional representations of future situation scenarios. Any similarities to real people or events other than those specifically cited are unintentional and for purposes of illustration only. This publication has been reviewed by security and policy review authorities, is unclassified, and is cleared for public release. So the contents, okay? Required capability. Why would we want to mess with the weather? What do we mean by weather modification? System description, the Global Weather Network, applying weather modification to military operations, Operation Black Sky, August 23rd. I mean, this is weird. Concept of operations, precipitation, fog, storms, exploitation of near space for space control. Opportunities afforded by space weather modification. Very interesting. Sean sends me this. One of my hosts in the chat room saying it sounds like AJ calling for his CIA relatives to kill Robinson. And I agree. I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting angle. The whole thing with Robinson and the Muhammad's Quran, and it's fascinating to watch the English version of, you know, what's happening here with the Garland, Texas event with Pamela Geller. And then remember John Ritzheimer, I believe, from the Malheur thing and the mosque protest that this guy was involved in. You know, it's hard to remember enough to connect these dots to the anti-Islam patriot kind of sector, like driving the American right against Islam and into the arms of the Israelis when a large swath of Israeli military and special intelligence popped 9/11 on us, sick Jonathan Pollard on us. Attempted to sink the Liberty, and you know, elements of our own deep state were involved with the sinking of the Liberty because military industrial types wanted to jump in with the Israelis and hit Egypt. But all the Israeli operations penetrating our NSA and our communication system, remember Amdocs and all the goofy stuff with penetrating our telecom systems with the Israelis. Fascinating stuff when you're trying to connect dots and then you're trying to brainstorm and you forget more than you can remember because it's like, you know, you throw so much, and I don't want to use the analogy, but you know, you throw so much into a pile and then things start falling off the pile. That's like, you know, our minds, because unfortunately, trying to remember everything, it's almost impossible for one of us. I try to do a good job, and I know there's people better at it than I am, but what the hell, you know, I'm trying to do a good job. A lot of people like the show, and they keep listening, so we're coming up at the bottom of the hour, and I promised Ken I'd be done, so I think we'll leave it here for the night. I wanted to get into this real quick, though. Jones had on this lady named Elizabeth Beck Lee, okay? And this was earlier in the week. And she's involved with this organization called JAMPAC.us, JAMPAC.us. She's an Asian lady. Now, she's married to some other guy, and these guys are progressives. Jones had them on about Scalia in basically the ripping off of Bernie Sanders by the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary and the rest of them. But let me just read this, who we are. Husband and wife attorneys Jared and Elizabeth Beck, and I think her last name might have been Lee, founded JAMPAC in February 2016. JAMPAC is the first and only truly progressive grassroots super PAC. It is powered by ordinary citizens to serve the people rather than billionaires and corporations. JAMPAC is fueled by donations from individuals from all over the country. JAMPAC aims to hold politicians accountable to the citizenry. Its goal is to restore the voice of the people to government. Jared and Elizabeth also run their own law firm, Beck and Lee Trial Lawyers. Since its founding, the firm has recovered millions of dollars on behalf of injured victims, blah, blah, blah. Okay? They opened their firm in 2007 after both quit their lucrative six-figure jobs at large corporate law firms. Now, listen to this. Elizabeth holds a law degree from Yale Law School and a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics from the UCLA. Before becoming a lawyer, she worked blah, blah, blah. Jared has a law degree from Harvard, where he also received bachelor's and master's degrees and served as editor of the Harvard Law Review. Okay, so you have a Yale lawyer and a Harvard lawyer. And these two just automatically got their conscience and their progressive grassroots super PAC. And they're doing this investigation into how Bernie got ripped off. Okay. Now, you can find this basically on Jones. Let me find this real quick for you guys. This was clip 16. This was on Alex Jones's third hour. And I'm going to say, let me cue it up here, August 29th, okay? Now, she gets into this, and you remember reading about the black female Muslim judge that got found in the river and was dead at real mysterious circumstances? She connects Scalia, this lady, and some dead judge in Brazil, and kind of like this whole kind of underbelly of organized crime with elections and the remember Rousseff down there in Brazil who got impeached, who was a progressive, and so this is a real like kind of a web here of kind of craziness. But I wanted to bring everybody's attention to this JAMPAC.us and kind of like trying to connect these dots here. Because, you know, Scalia, I covered his probably hit the day after it happened. You can go into my archives and find that. But this black female Islamic judge in New York, I think she was on the state Supreme Court of one of those circuits over there. But she was involved in certain cases. And so there's things going on with assassination in the judicial sector, let's just say, that's got a lot there, some dots to connect. So keep your eyes on that. I wanted to get to that, though, and I think I can finish, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the program. Keep listening. Keep telling RBN, the folks down there, that you like the program. That's how John and everybody knows that people are listening and you like the content. And I hope you guys appreciate it. It's heavy lifting to try to put one of these programs together on a weekly basis now with the acceleration of just insanity that we're witnessing. Let me see. Oh, let me cover the rest of the waterfront here. Clooney, this jerk, George Clooney, I guess hedging his bets, donates $1 million to the SPLC. The car that tried to jump out of the in Springfield, right here in Missouri. I was just in Springfield a few months ago enjoying a concert. But some car that a lot of people are saying was an attempted ramming of the president, and even certain outlets are saying that there were explosives on board to try to blow up the president, and he wasn't traveling in what they call the beast. He was in another vehicle that was, let's just say, you could say open to, you know, it was vulnerable. I don't know if any of this is true, but it's interesting to read about some of it. So watch for the Ukraine. I'm seeing that NATO might be inciting Ukraine now to do something on the Russian border, and you get into the diplomats and the weather modification, whether it was Air Force 2025 deep state doing this to ourselves or whether it was an external hostile force, who knows? Oh, there were three ambulances last night at the White House. People were all over Twitter talking about that. Secret Service all over D.C. Corbett, James Corbett's even talking about the next JFK. And I've been talking about the parallels here with Trump and JFK for months. This is for you guys that might be looking for a new car in the next number of months. Watch out for flooded Harvey cars. Remember the Katrina cars that flooded the market. Watch out. There's up to 1 million cars that were affected by this. So watch out for Harvey cars that were flooded. Enter the Stars, a YouTuber. Interesting guy. But he's doing all this balloon research, 12 monkeys. Remember the song 99 Red Balloons? There's a lot of balloon research about, let's just say, flus and biotoxins and so forth on his channel. Predictive programming and cartoons all over the place. And so keep your eyes on Enter the Stars YouTube channel with these balloons and some of the dot connecting he's done. Just saying, I've always kind of looked at the bio angle with if they want to pull a depop operation. EMP would be very effective, but also think about an EMP, and then right on the heels of it, some sort of a bioweapon hit to really take our population numbers down, like some of the projections on Deagle.com and so forth and so on. So keep that out. My governor here, Eric Greitens, the Navy SEAL, Lieutenant Commander, Rhodes Scholar, I'm saying this guy's getting groomed, folks. Just keep your eyes on the governor. And Ken's asking me here, let's see, I'm sending it to you now. Yeah. So we're about to end the program, and let's listen to War of the Worlds, since the nuclear garbage on the alleged nuclear test by the North Koreans. And this is a real mind screw here. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And I'm going to go ahead and get off the air. Ken's tired, been up all day. So thanks, Ken. Thanks for the listeners, everybody in the chat room, Sean, Hooley, everybody. And hope to see you next week.
had every right to do so, and they chose not to appoint somebody else. So that left Jefferson Davis and the other senators with no authority to be in Congress. And there was still a quorum. They could easily have continued the union with the remaining states, but they, you know, that was not the path they chose. They had adjourned without setting a date to reconvene, which meant Lincoln had to do an unlawful executive order to bring the union back together. But all this, you know, is kind of academic, and people don't want to know about it. You know, they want to prefer to believe that the one percenters in the South that owned slaves were the ones that fomented the entire thing. But, exactly. You know, without that 40% tax on everything going in and out of the southern states, disproportionately saddling them with the costs of government and whatever adventurism they want to do, we're facing that today. I mean, what's our tax rates? Does anybody really know? It's hard to calculate because there's all these hidden taxes. But we'll probably work half the year before we pay for food and shelter to fund government, and we're not really funding government. We're funding the interest on the debt. I heard a story yesterday or earlier this week that said to keep the government operating, we only, quote, only have to come up with about $262 billion to avoid default, because that's what the interest is on the T-bills that they're monetizing debt
with. Pocket change. You know, yeah. This is Carol Quigley. If you've read Carol Quigley's book, he goes through basically every little squabble in there, you know, little war or, you know, whatever you want to call them over in Europe throughout, you know, recorded history. And it's the same thing. History repeats itself over and over. Basically, it's the royals or the privileged, whatever you want to call them, those at the top, that get in squabbles amongst themselves about something, and they use the little people as useless eaters to settle their squabbles, and yet at the end they say, okay, here's a dollar, you're right, you won, you know.
Tragedy and Hope is the book you're talking about, I think, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Tragedy. And that was Bill Clinton's Bible, apparently. Oh. A mentor to Bill Clinton was Carol Quigley, but I totally got sidetracked. There's plenty of evidence that this staged rally that has sparked all this stuff again, people that were hired to be there. I don't know if you guys have ran through a lot of the details on this, but the Unite the Right guy set this rally up in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
had been working for Obama and had been working to support Obama and the 99 percenters, the Occupy movement.